is just elite.
Bucks Talk starts now.
The five-game win streak is no more as Los Angeles takes care of business here at Intuit Dome in the fourth quarter, beating the Bucks 127-117.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Against peak James Harden, right? It was a turn back the clock night from James Harden tonight, who scored 40 points, took over in the third quarter. And that, look, that's one of the things that has stood out the most about James Harden this season. I mentioned some of the numbers on the postgame show. Statistically, it has not been a great season for James Harden. He is as inefficient as he has ever been in his career. He's shooting less than 40% from the floor for the first time. But with players like James Harden, what you see is you may not have it every game, but you have those moments where you can take over and preserve and save yourself for those moments. Similar things with Kawhi Leonard, who we only saw for 24 minutes. That's been the norm for Kawhi in the seven games that he's played this season. But James Harden saved his best for the third quarter when he scored 28 points in the third and fourth quarter. But that third quarter especially was when you started to get that feeling of, here we go. This does not bode well for the Bucks. And Norm Powell, too, very strong tonight. I think there's nothing more to add other than what Doc Rivers said at the end of the game here in his postgame press conference. The margins is where the Bucks lost this game. You know, the Clippers won all the 50-50 balls. The Clippers had 24 second chance points. That's the most the Bucks have given up so far this season. The Bucks did not do a good job on the defensive glass, and really their defensive turnaround has started with that. You know, limiting possessions, ending the possession, get the rebound, close out the possession, and don't leave yourself vulnerable there. They've cleaned up their transition defense, but they've cleaned up defensive rebounding, and that's brought a lot of success. They did not do the latter tonight, and that's a big reason why the Clippers ended the five-game win streak. And now three more road games here on this trip, and it's going to take the Bucks all over the place, to Utah, to Portland, and wrapping things up in San Antonio against the Spurs next Friday, 6 days from now. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Damian Lillard does get the triple-double, so that's the good news for the Bucks. And even more good news, I think, is what we saw from two players specifically that should bode well for the Bucks down the road. Also, Giannis's free throw routine changing a little bit, and we saw those results tonight. So it's a disappointing loss, but there are some positives to get to. We will start to circle through those coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
.127-117, the final score tonight in Inglewood as the Bucks come up short against the Los Angeles Clippers. There were positives to come from this. Damian Lillard does get the triple-double tonight. He did not get it Thursday against the Miami Heat as he had one of those rebounds taken away. But a near identical stat line, 29-11-9, he had Thursday in the win against the Heat. Tonight, 29-10-10, his first triple-double in a Bucks uniform and the fourth of his career. The way that Dame has played all season long, I think, is, you know, we talk about all-star candidacy, and we learn Giannis is going to be one of the starters. Damian Lillard just missing out on being a starter once again. But Damian Lillard putting up another very strong case for all-star, even with a very crowded backcourt in the Eastern Conference by the numbers. Damian Lillard has been even better this season in year number two with the Bucks than he was a year ago. Certainly more efficient. The scoring is up, and it is undeniable. The chemistry between he and Giannis is certainly on a much different level. Before the game tonight, Doc Rivers said comfort is, you know, the word that I would use to describe what we're seeing from Damian Lillard. He's more comfortable with the organization, with his teammates, with everything across the floor, with me as a coach and this coaching staff. He got the chance to kind of learn that group a season ago, and now we're really starting to see the payoff for Dame this season. But the two other things of note in terms of individual players, the positives for the Bucks moving forward. Torian Prince, I thought he had a good game tonight. Defensively, you know, he's Mr. Reliable. You know what you're going to get from him on that end of the floor, and he's starting to hit shots once again. You know, you think back to early in the season when the Bucks were just not hitting shots. What was the most remarkable part about it was you had Torian Prince and A.J. Green both shooting at or around 50% from three, and yet the Bucks were one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league. Well, everybody started to catch up to them, and Torian Prince's numbers took a bit of a dip once Chris Middleton made his return, but once we saw Doc Rivers make the adjustment once again to say, look, as we're still trying to bring Chris along, let's do that off the bench, Torian Prince's numbers have taken a tick upward once again. And Torian Prince did that once again tonight. I thought he was very solid for the Bucks and has been of late here. He's going to be an incredibly important player for the Bucks because of what he can, you know, I hate to use the word unlock, but what he can really change and allow this team to do, how he will allow them to play defensively. If he can play as a small ball four or have more lineups where, you know, we start to see Torian Prince on the floor with Chris Middleton and Giannis and two guards in the backcourt, he's going to be incredibly important for this team as we start to get into the back half of the season. We're there now with this being game number 43 for the Bucks, but as we start to get really into the stretch drive, to see what you're continuing to get from Torian Prince. And Gary Trent Jr., the other guy, 34 minutes tonight, 7 of 11 from the floor, hit 5 threes in this game. He's another guy that in the last, 6 weeks or so, to go back to what Doc Rivers said about Damian Lillard, he just looks more comfortable, especially in the role, you know, coming into the season. We thought that Gary Trent Jr. was going to be your starting two guard. It wasn't just Gary Trent. It was a number of players that just struggled offensively, weren't making shots, shots that they usually make to open up the season. And again, it was kind of the, okay, same approach with Chris Middleton. Let's just, while we're working him in and letting him figure this out, let's just go back to the bench and figure out the spots to bring him in here. Bucks did the same thing with Gary Trent Jr., and he has really thrived as that scoring punch off the bench. So continuing to see that tonight from Gary Trent Jr. And again, it's not just tonight that Gary Trent Jr. has had those types of performances. Made 7 threes against the Miami Heat. He made 4 threes against the Spurs about a week ago. So you're starting to see the volume start to pick up for Gary Trent Jr. here. So two very positive performances for the Bucks on the individual level tonight, despite the fact that they lost. There's a couple of things they really missed that we'll get to, but we've frankly taken too long to get to maybe the biggest positive to come from this game. And I don't want to make too much out of it because it is just one game, but I think we got a glimpse of what may be potentially changed to bring this on, and maybe that's something that can give us some optimism moving down the stretch drive here for the Bucks. That, of course, is the free throw shooting of Giannis. So what changed, the results that it produced, and what it could mean for this team moving forward, we'll get into that conversation coming up after this.
Back to Bucks Talk.
.127-117 the final tonight. The Bucks open up the 4-game road trip with a loss in Inglewood against the Clippers. A couple of things before we do transition to Giannis's free throw shooting. I mentioned those two names, Gary Trent Jr. and Torian Prince, and you know the importance that those two players are going to hold down the second half schedule here for the Bucks and potentially deep into the playoffs. They are two guys, you know, we mentioned with Torian Prince, the start that he got off to this season, the month of November especially, when he shot 56% on threes in that month. Started all 14 games, started the first 19 games he played in. December is where the numbers started to take a hit. And again, that's when Chris Middleton returned, December 6th, I believe it was, in Boston against the Celtics. basically half of the games that Taurean Prince played in December, he did so coming off the bench. And, you know, it's an adjustment for anybody, but for Taurean Prince specifically, why I think it impacted him more than most other players. You go back to Media Day when Taurean Prince had a chance to meet with and address the Bucks media for the first time and said, you know, one of the things when I kind of narrowed it down to the Bucks were one of the teams that they were interested in me, I was interested in coming here, I immediately just went to work and seen the numbers and clips I could find on catch and shoots for guys that were going to be playing my position. On the perimeter, as a small forward, power forward, whatever. Guys that were going to be on the floor at the same time as Giannis. Okay, where do they get the ball? How many catch and shoot opportunities did they get? Where do I need to position myself? How can I make the most of that? We saw that. Certainly through the first 19 games of the season when he was shooting about 55% from three, was terrific in November. Chris Middleton comes back. And look, as Doc Rivers said too, I know every player in this league thinks they're a starter. But for TP, we signed him and did so with the assumption of, okay, we're going to be able to use you in a lot of spots. You're going to play a significant amount of minutes with Giannis, with Damian Lillard, but Chris Middleton's our starter. So that was the assumption coming in. That changed when Chris Middleton took a little bit longer to get back on the floor this season. But when you shift to the bench and you've been filling that role and getting those opportunities, enhanced minutes with Giannis and Damian Lillard, it creates different shots for you. It creates better looks, a high volume of open looks. A lot more corner threes when Giannis is attacking the paint, when Dame is getting into the lane, getting paint touches and forcing the defense to react. And, you know, it's not to say he didn't get any of those minutes or looks when he was a reserve player, but it changes dramatically. And I think the numbers bear that out, that we saw the impact it had on Taurean Prince. But in the month of January, again, making the shift back into the starting lineup, we're seeing those numbers once again creep towards 50% shooting from three. Coming into the game tonight, he was 18 of 38 on his threes in this month of January. So you add what he did tonight, it's 22 of 45. So basically shooting 50% in this month of January, where he has primarily been a starter. So that is very encouraging to see. And again, Gary Trent Jr., a very similar story, that he's gotten better each and every month this season. When you look at his efficiencies, it's just the first really five games of the season. I know we talk so much about the first 10 games when the Bucks went 2-8, but it was really those five games played in October where you look at and you say, how is this the same guy that he shot 35% from the floor, was 27% from three? In every single month since then, his efficiency has risen. His field goal percentage has gone up from 35 to 39 to 47 to 52 in the month of January. The 27% from the outside then went to 43 to 45 to now 54 in January. So he may well be the guy to keep an eye on the most because of the importance that he's going to bring to the bench for the Bucks. But the thing that probably stood out the most tonight, that I'm sure had a lot of Bucks fans saying, hey, don't tease us with this, because if this is the norm, this certainly changes things. That is the free throw shooting of Giannis. Now, again, it is one game. We need to see more of a sample size. We need to see how it looks Monday night in Utah against the Jazz, and really all throughout February. Go forward here. We need to see a larger sample size. But we at least saw a little bit of a tweak to what Giannis was working on in a pregame shoot-around. So we'll get to the Giannis free throw numbers and what changed or why it may have changed coming up after this.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Well, the Bucks lose in Inglewood and see their five-game win streak come to an end, but maybe we saw a new streak begin, and that is the efficiency at the free throw line from Giannis. So Giannis, by the way, not to lose sight of what he did, we mentioned the triple-double from Damian Lillard. We mentioned strong games from Gary Trent Jr. and Taurean Prince. which has really been a theme here for the Bucks of late. Giannis had 36 points, shot better than 50% from the floor once again. Only one assist. And that is usually a telltale sign for Bucks' success, is Giannis's assist numbers. Like, if Giannis and Dame are both coming up with a high volume of assists in the same game, the Bucks are winning that game because of the ball movement. So far this season, when Giannis has eight or more assists, the Bucks are 8-2 in those games. One assist tonight. It's the third time this season that Giannis has had just one assist. The Bucks are 1-2 in those games. And, you know, when he's got that low volume of assists, they've only won three games when he has had three or fewer assists. So that's a number to keep an eye on. But again, you got to hit shots in order to do that. This is a Clippers defense that, entering this game tonight, second best in the league by the numbers. They do not allow efficient shooting. And we saw those numbers really start to bear out over the course of the game. As the Bucks shot 47% from the floor, not bad, but it's what the Clippers do to you. So shooting relatively even between these two teams, three-point shooting relatively even, the big difference, the 50-50 balls and the fact that the Clippers had 12 offensive rebounds and scored 24 points off of those. It's the most the Bucks have given up to an opponent this season. So that's where it slipped away. Oddly enough, it wasn't a game where you look back at it and you say, man, you lost by, let's say, 5 points. And it was one of those games where Giannis goes 4 of 11 at the free throw line. Like, what happens if that number is better? He was 12 of 15 at the free throw line tonight. Damian Lillard was 16 of 17. So that duo took 32 of your 34 free throws, but they made 28 of them. Like, the volume isn't anything new here. It's the makes that stand out. And if you were watching the game broadcast, you saw footage of Giannis in this morning's shoot-around getting ready and working on a new routine where you're holding a broom up near the rim in order to increase the loft on his free throws, which I think a lot of people have noted. It looks kind of like a flat shot when he gets to the free throw line. The most perplexing part of all of it is, you know, you look at where Giannis has really grown his game this season. I wouldn't say thrived, because he's still dominating in the paint and at the rim. But where he's really grown the most is in that mid-range shot. You know, basically a 50% shooter in long mid-range jumpers. So essentially free throws. And that's the part that it just doesn't register of, how is he hitting these contested mid-range shots at a 50% rate? But he's, you know, he was for the longest time shooting better on mid-range shots than he was free throws. We saw that number start to dip into the low 50s for Giannis this season. And again, you look at it month by month, 65% in the month of November. It's not ideal, but compared to the rest of these months, you would kill for 65, 61% in December. I believe with the efficiency he found tonight, it's at about 51% in January. That's been the problem month. He was at 50 of 100 coming into the game tonight. I have long said, look, if Giannis can give you 70% shooting at the free throw line, it's not great. But imagine a 70% shooter that's getting there the volume that Giannis is. Like, for all the talk of three-pointers, and we kind of settled that with a mid-range shot, that's the one thing that you would point to. So I'm not saying tonight that he goes 12 for 15 and we had tangible evidence of what he was doing differently, or at least working on a little bit more, and we've seen the entire routine tweaked for the last couple of years. How many dribbles he takes? Does he spin the ball? How close is it to 10 seconds? This season, it's been more closer to a grip it and rip it approach for Giannis, but we need to see more games with Giannis. It doesn't even have to be a 12 of 15, right? But we need to see a stretch of at least 5, 6, 7 games where he's shooting consistently, 70%, ideally better, before we can really take this as, hey, this thing that he worked on, this thing we saw him working on, and the reason behind it, it works. And the free throw routine, I'm not going to say is fixed, but is certainly in a much better spot. That being said, it's encouraging to see, okay, let's target this. This is one of the things we think maybe bringing some of your shooting down. Let's work on improving that. And you saw the 12 of 15 result tonight. So that is probably the biggest thing I am going to be monitoring for the next week. When you think about what's in front of the Bucks, he should get to the line quite a bit against the Utah Jazz. I know you got Walker Kessler there, but it's a Jazz team that they're down some pieces. And also, frankly, the Utah Jazz are not invested in winning this season. They are one of those teams. They currently have the second worst record in the league, and they're perfectly fine with that. They would love nothing more than to win the lottery and be able to draft someone like Cooper Flagg in the first round of a very strong draft this season. So that doesn't really come into play until you get into, you know, late February, coming out of the All-Star break, where you start to see more and more of guys mysteriously and randomly being shut down. But still, it's a Jazz team that's not in a good spot. Giannis should be able to feast against that team. The Portland Trailblazers on Tuesday, again, a team that, in terms of their rim protection, Robert Williams has been playing more, but Giannis has traditionally had big games against DeAndre Ayton. I would assume it's a Bucks team that is going to be even more motivated, not just for Damian Lillard returning to Portland for the second time, but also it's a Blazers team that beat the Bucks in a stretch that was not very pretty for the Bucks earlier in the month of January. Then you have the Spurs. And look, the last time we saw Giannis versus Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio, it was an instant classic where both of them had huge games. It picks up even more so next weekend, into the week, too, when I mentioned a back-to-back home against the Memphis Grizzlies, 1 week from today now, next Sunday, and then on the road in Oklahoma City against the Thunder. So the long and short of it is, look, Giannis gets to the free throw line a lot as it is. You look at the schedule in front of the Bucks, I would assume that volume is going to increase. So let's see, with the increased attempts, does the efficiency we saw tonight also come in? And are we going to see more footage of same routine that they're working for to try to build up the arc on that free throw shot? Was that the difference that we saw tonight in his 12 of 15 shooting? 127 to 117, the final score, though. The Clippers take down the Bucks. A turn back the clock performance from James Harden. The Eastern Conference standings is starting to get very interesting now with the results that we had today and really this past week. It's starting to get more bunched up, I think much more bunched up than most of us anticipated. We'll dig into that coming up after this.
This is Bucks Talk.
127 to 117, the final in Inglewood. The Bucks come up short against the Clippers. A turn back the clock performance from James Harden, who had a game high 40 points. Norm Powell continuing his case for his first ever All-Star selection. First time as a full-time starter in his 10th year in the league, and he's turning in the best season of his career. 24 points per game. He had 33 tonight. Man, you think back to what may have been, because as many listeners to the show and many longtime Bucks fans will recall, Norm Powell was originally a second-round draft pick of the Bucks, who was traded along with a draft pick the night of the draft to the Toronto Raptors for Greivis Vásquez. Now, Greivis Vásquez, it never panned out in Milwaukee. And for the longest time, I think Bucks fans looked back at that trade and said, man, I'd love to have Norm Powell as a bench scorer. Well, when you factor in the rest of that trade and what that other draft pick that was included became, the Raptors used that pick to take OG Anunoby. So you, in a sense, turned OG Anunoby and Norm Powell into Greivis Vásquez. And needless to say, that trade did not work out well for the Bucks. But a strong game tonight, and it's been a strong season from Norm Powell. 14 games played tonight, so all but two teams were in action tonight. It's a much different story tomorrow when there's just one game that is played. So a chance for Bucks fans to do a bit of advanced scouting for two teams they'll see in the very near future. The Portland Trailblazers are hosting the Oklahoma City Thunder tomorrow night. The only game on the NBA schedule that tips at 5 o'clock. And again, the Bucks will be in Portland on Tuesday and in Oklahoma City 1 week from Monday. But with all of these games that were played today, the Bucks have had a couple of games in the last 10 days or so, a couple of days, I should say, where everything just kind of went their way when you look at teams that were either around them or in front of them in the standings losing games. And today was set up for that opportunity as well. You had the Spurs not hosting, essentially, but the Spurs playing the Pacers in Paris, the second game of the two Paris games. Of course, a very heavy Spurs crowd with Tony Parker on hand. Oh, by the way, Victor Wembanyama, the French native. So the Spurs won convincingly the first game on Thursday. Pacers blew them out today, so you didn't get help there. The Boston Celtics, been in a really big funk. And frankly, I know there's been a lot, and there's going to continue to be more, of people pouring over the Celtics numbers. And, hey, look at the shooting percentages. This guy's shooting at a lower rate. Derek White, his shooting is down. Drew Holiday hasn't played as many games. His shooting is down. Jaylen Brown, not quite as efficient as he was a season ago. It's all valid. I think it remains to be seen. Like, we still have half a season to figure this thing out, but it just has the makings of a team that won the championship last year and is bored with the regular season. Now, that's a dangerous spot to be in. And one of the reasons why we have not seen a repeat champion since the Golden State Warriors is that it's a league that, as years have gone by, since the Warriors were the premier team in the league, we have seen more and more parity, and the bottom has moved closer to the top. There's more teams at the top that have a chance. I mean, even this year, it's wide open, right? This isn't the Warriors of 2015 or the Miami Heat in 2012, the Bulls of the 90s. There's a handful of teams that have a strong case, and the Bucks are included, of, hey, if things go our way, we stay healthy, we think we can win a championship. That's a big piece of it. Why you don't see teams repeat, the parity, but also the whole, I hate to say flip a switch, but, you know, the Bucks have talked about this too, some members of the team. It's never the same after the first championship, right? Like, the desire for a title is not the same. It will never be. Once you haven't had it versus the teams that have gotten there. That's a part of it, but again, to say we know what it takes to win a championship, so let's kind of save ourselves and get to the playoffs, and that's when we'll turn it on. Some teams are able to do that, some are not. It remains to be seen if the Celtics are in that latter category, but it does very much feel like a team that's just, all right, let's get the regular season over with already. The Miami Heat played the Brooklyn Nets. They won tonight. Night two of Jimmy Butler's two-game suspension, so Miami had a chance to get even more separation between the Bucks and those types of teams. You didn't get that tonight. The Magic snapped a five-game losing streak, so they aren't going to go away. And by the way, Orlando is starting to get healthy now. They had their starting lineup from night one of the regular season reunited tonight. Franz Wagner back in the mix. Jalen Suggs back in the mix. The Magic are currently seventh, but that's a team that, as they're getting healthy, the way they play defensively, they are not going to go away here. The Hawks did lose, so you get the help there. But the most interesting score, the Cleveland Cavaliers lost their third consecutive game. This was a team that was on pace for 70 wins, and it was really starting to feel like that Bucks team from the 2019-20 season, where for the longest time the Bucks were on pace for 73 wins. They didn't experience a losing streak until the final week of the regular season before we got to the bubble. It kind of feels like that's where it's drifting with the Cavs, that they were incredible through the first 30-35 games of the season. I want to say come back to earth, but I'm playing at quite the same rate here. They're still five games up on the Celtics in the loss column. They are still very likely going to win the regular season here in the Eastern Conference and finish in front of the Bucks for a division championship as well. But But it's now three straight losses for the Cleveland Cavaliers, so that is something to keep an eye on. But the one game you're probably eyeing the most was in New York, where the Knicks were hosting the Sacramento Kings, and the thought of, hey, the Kings have played well of late. You know, the Bucks just beat them, but that was, at the time, snapping the longest winning streak in the Western Conference when the Bucks beat the Kings. So maybe the Kings can get the Knicks here, and in doing so, that would pull the Bucks and the Knicks even in the loss column, pending the results of the Bucks game tonight. That did not happen, and the Bucks lose. So you're still two back of the Knicks in the loss column. And again, New York has the tiebreaker over the Bucks. So the long story short is you're going to have to outplay teams down the stretch. You don't have the tiebreaker against those first three teams, the Cavs, the Celtics, and the Knicks. But so far, the Bucks have only lost one game against the Pacers, Pistons, Magic, Heat, and Hawks. One loss against that group combined. That's the most important thing to keep an eye on here. And can you start to steal wins against better teams and finish, who knows, maybe third in the Eastern Conference? We will get you set for Monday night when the Bucks start a back-to-back in Utah against the Jazz and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
All right, Monday night, the Bucks look to get back into the win column. They start a back-to-back Monday night in Utah against the Jazz, Tuesday night in Portland against the Trailblazers, and they wrap up the road trip Friday night in San Antonio against the Spurs. But again, the Bucks and Hornets had the two fewest games played in the Eastern Conference through this week, and you factor in it's an older team. You have more back-to-backs, and you got more games to play in the second half of the season than most teams. You complicated it with the postponed game against the New Orleans Pelicans, where the Bucks are going to lose one of their stretches, very few stretches of extended time off. We still don't know the rescheduled date for that, but that's the important thing to keep an eye on here for this team in the second half is maximizing those off days. Monday night in Utah, it's an 8 o'clock tip for the Bucks and the Jazz. 7:30 is when our pregame coverage begins, and as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will catch up with you then.